you're a preacher, you notice something that I don't like to happen. But even though I don't like to happen, it happened last night. I got ahead of the Lord, and I don't like it. And it's pretty lonely. And I was over here saying, "Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry." And this lady back here in the back came up here, and she was telling the Lord something different. And she got what I was hoping everybody would get, was victory. But I was aiming to mention last night on how do you warn someone. And I plastered the whole back of my truck with signs. And I was going to mention that last night. And you know, we need to... And I loaded my truck down with tracks. I mean, I seen this guy today. And man, he had on some pajamas, had skulls all over him. And there wasn't a place on his arm any more room for any tattoos. And his hair looked like he'd been holding a blow dryer in front of him. It was all sticking out back behind him. And I was reaching for a track. And for lack of better words, I thought it wouldn't do no good. I don't believe. I don't know if there was anything there to work with. But you know, we need to be warning people.
Yes, amen.
Just like that brother preached right there. I like his song right there. And there was a message in there. I guess you could say he was preaching through the song. It's not going to be long.
Yeah.
It's nigh. The Bible said our salvation's nearer than when we believed. It's not getting further away. It's kind of like the mirror on my truck. Things are closer than they appear. Amen. We'll take our text this tonight out of Matthew chapter 22. I got up early this morning and sought the Lord. Me and him had a long talk this morning. And I done more listening than talking. But he led me here. I'm going to read this parable about the marriage feast. And I'll come back to it. Because he spoke a lot of things to me this morning that I want to share with you. And I like it when it comes like he gave it to me this morning. But we'll take our text reading out of Matthew chapter 22. And we'll read down to verse number 14. The Bible said, "And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables, and said, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son, sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, Tell them which are bidden, Behold, I prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed. All things are ready. Come into the marriage."
Yes, amen.
I wish this verse wasn't in there. But they made light of it.
That's right.
Went their ways. One to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them.
Yes.
When the king heard thereof, he was wroth. And he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers, burned up their city.
Yes.
Then said he to his servants, The wedding's ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage.
Right.
So the servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests.
Yes.
And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he said unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to his servants, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. We'll stop our reading right there. And I want to preach tonight, if the Lord would be my helper, on the invitation of God. You may be seated. Father, we thank you for the inspired, infallible, incorruptible, eternal Word of God. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you gave it like you gave your Son. And you told us, Lord, to give the most earnest heed to it. Lord, we need your help tonight. I pray, Lord, you make it, Lord, what it needs to be tonight. Make it quick and powerful. Make it sharper than any two-edged sword. May it do the work, Lord, that it's sent to do. May it may it not return void. May it prosper in the thing you sent it. Lord, we just pray, dear God, tonight for anointed liberty and power. And Lord, we give you all the praise and all the glory and ask that somehow, Lord, you might be able to use us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to preach about this invitation in a minute. But this morning, as I was speaking with the Lord and having some devotion this morning and seeking God, I just kind of backed up a little more. I'm finding that backing up all the way to Matthew chapter number 21, and that's where I want to start at tonight.
Bless you, Lord.
First of all, let me say, on this recap, this discourse that the Lord delivered before He gave this parable of this invitation, I want you to notice some things here. In verses 1 through 11, He publicly offers Himself as the King, which is mentioned in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Behold, thy King cometh, riding a meek and lowly, riding upon an ass, a colt, the foal of an ass. He publicly declares Himself as that King prophesied in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. But oh, listen, you get on down there, verse number 12. This is so important. Listen to this. Jesus went into the temple of God, cast out all of them that sold and bought in the temple, overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. And He said unto them, it's written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves. This is the second time that He's cleansed this temple. He cleansed it early in His ministry. It's mentioned in John chapter number 2, verse 13 through 16. And that time He came in with a scourge of small cords, and He drove them all out, and He poured out the money changers' money, and He overthrew the tables. My friend, listen, you can't get nothing done for God till you get all cleaned up. He's getting ready to do some work.
Yes,
it's got to be some things cleaned up. The reason I'm saying that, I read verse 14 at the house and shouted, woke everybody in the house up.
Amen.
Listen,
Hallelujah.
He come in and had a good house cleaning, Brother Todd. Yeah, that's what we need to do, not just in the house of God, but in our own house. We need to have a good house cleaning, make it acceptable for God to be able to use. Man, man, I tell you what, it's what He did. He come in and showed us, just clean the house. And if you look at verse number 14, man, I don't know about you, but it put wood on my fire. I shouted all over the place. When you get the house clean, look at that verse number 14. Woo! Verse 14 said, and the blind and the lame came to Him in the temple, and He healed them. Brother Philip, we'll see some people get some help. We'll just clean the house. Amen.
Amen.
So we'll make it presentable where God could come in like what He sees. Boy, put His blessing on the effort. Amen. We'll see some people get some help. Amen. There's some people out there wanting some help. Amen. He's the only one that can help. And I tell you what, He said all that come to Him, He said He'd no wise turn them away. And I tell you what, He bids you to come. That's what this message is all about. God welcomes all. He says to all, come. Come now, saith the Lord. Let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, I'll make them white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, I'll make them as well. He's got the cure. He's got the help. He's the great physician that'll heal any plague you have.
Amen.
I had an uncle. When I first got saved, I didn't know nothing. I just barely know more than I did then, but I truly didn't know nothing then. And they told me he was dying of cancer. And I fasted for that man just like I did for my father. And I never let up. I wasn't going to let up. I kept fasting for this man. God one day told me, He said, won't you just go in there and check on him? I don't know how God talks to y'all, but I've had some serious conversation with God.
Oh, yes.
We was down at Fallen Timber Creek one time waiting for a church to get done baptizing people. My pastor told me to help him that day, and I told him I'd be glad to. We were sitting there at the bank enjoying the scenery, watching people getting baptized. Now I'll tell you what, I was enjoying the moment, one of them monumental moments. Looking through the willow trees there, right there by the creek bank, Brother Grayland. God spoke to me. He said, I want you to get baptized today. I thought, whoa. I done been baptized, Brother Melvin. I'm already saved. I've done been baptized. I'm a member of the church. I knew there was no need for me to be baptized. This bothered me. I didn't fight it, but I didn't just jump to it neither. I'm sitting there trying to think, what am I going to do here? Finally, God being bigger than me, I went to my pastor. I said, Brother Rick, I don't understand this at all. I have no idea why, but for some reason or other, God just spoke to me, and he wants me to get baptized here today. He said, no problem, we baptize you first, you still at me. That went over just perfectly. 2 days later, and that's my call to preach. The only significance I can make of that is God just wanted to see if I'd obey him, even when it didn't make no sense. I have no other explanation. I'm not that smart, not that sharp. But my uncle, God said, I want you to go over and check on him. So I drive into town, Brother Todd. He's there in the front yard talking to his neighbor. And I pull in his driveway and I get out and walk up to him. I said, Dole, his name's Dole Mathis. And I said, Dole, I've been praying for you, been fasting. And I said, Dole, I believe that you need to bring your situation to the Lord. I believe he'll help you because I've been praying for him. I've been fasting for him. Now, I'm going to tell you what Dole told me. I still remember this moment. His neighbor said, yeah, Dole, you need to do what this young man's telling you. And Dole told me and him both this. He said, no. He said, he's come out with a new pill. And I'm trusting that new pill. I see his pallbearer within 2 weeks. Trusting in that new pill.
That's right.
I tell you what, you better be careful what you put your trust in.
That's right.
I'm glad, praise God, I trusted one that can be trusted. Amen.
Yes.
I mean, he can raise them from the dead.
Yes.
He can heal any plague.
Amen.
But God let me know why I wasn't doing no good to pray and fast for this man. He said, no. He said, I'm trusting in this new pill they've come out with. How do you argue with that, Brother Jonathan? I'll tell you right now, buddy. God let me know. You go ahead and pray for him. You go ahead and fast for him. But he's not trusting in me. He's trusting in, I trusted in a pill, the gospel. It healed every plague I had. Amen.
Amen.
But oh, listen. He healed them. Verse 14 said. You know, that's what we need in our churches today. I believe this all has significance, and I'll get to it here in a minute. But you know, he went in there, he cleaned this temple out, and when he cleaned this temple out, verse 14, woo, said, and the blind and the lame came to him in the temple. Preachers, listen, and he healed them. Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. Woo! I want you to know, but that done something for me. It may not for you, but that's what church is all about. You come there and get some help. You come there and get healed. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Listen, he cleaned it. He cleaned that temple before he done any work in there. That's what we need to do. We need to clean that thing up a little bit. Get everything where it needs to be. You look at verse 19 through verse 20 there. This barren fig tree is cursed. And it dries up. And you know, when it dries up, these disciples, I mean, they're just amazed. Verse 20 said, they saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon is the fig tree withered away? And Jesus, he told them, he said, verily, I say unto you, if you got faith and doubt not, you shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed. You know, our faith, if we've got faith that can be measured, faith is something that'll scare you to death, but it's something you can't get far without. You've got to have it. I mean, Jesus never done a miracle that he didn't say, do you believe I can do this? That man had that son that was a lunatic. He said, do you believe I can do this? And the people was coming in there. And my pastor said, well, he helped his unbelief. He said, yea, Lord, but help my unbelief. And the Lord, my pastor said he helped his unbelief. He just helped cast that devil out of that boy. He said, I help anybody's unbelief. Amen. But we need faith. Amen. And the Lord tells his disciples, if you got faith, you can say to this mountain, be there removed and be there cast in the sea and it shall be done. That'll show you how much faith you don't have.
Yes, that's right.
Have you ever done any of that mountain moving? Well, I have. I had about a 350 pound father. It was a giant of a man and he wouldn't move, Brother Josh. And I lost 40 pounds fasting for him. I looked like one of them Holocaust refugees. I mean, my eyes sunk back in my head. There wasn't nothing but just skin over these bones. My dad seen me, and he said, "What in the world is wrong with you?" I said, "Nothing wrong with me, Dad, I'm fine." He said, "You're losing a lot of weight, ain't you?" I said, "Yeah, I'm losing a little weight, Dad." And he got worried about me, but he didn't need to worry about me, he needed to worry about him, Brother Melvin. I'm fasting, praying for him. You know, the Bible said, except the Lord build the house, they that labor to build it labor in vain. And the preparation of the heart is of the Lord. And the times and the seasons are in His hands. And you know, He's got to do the work. I mean, I like to see people get saved, but I like to see it when God saves them. Because I know all them ones. I remember this one guy. He said, "Brother Eddie, you remember me? You saved me in my driveway." I said, "But I can't save nobody. I can't even save myself." I told him that day, I said, "If you'll call upon the Lord right here, right now, He'll save you." And He did. And somehow or another, he thought I had something to do with it. But anyway, I saw this mountain, my father. I saw him hard-hearted, calloused in heart, full of himself. I thought of my dad a lot. I thought my dad was going to go to hell for sure because he wouldn't respond to the fasting and praying. But all of a sudden, buddy, I got a little desperate, Brother Melvin, and I prayed. I'm fasting and praying now. And I prayed, I said, "Lord, I don't want my dad to be able to eat or to be able to sleep until he gets saved." And man, I'll tell you what, I meant it. I mean, I said it in faith. It wasn't too long. I got a phone call. Daddy called me. He said, "You praying for me?" I said, "Well, yeah, Dad, you know I'm praying for you." He said, "Well, I want you to quit." I said, "Dad, how come?" He said, "Well, I can't eat. I can't sleep. And for lack of better words, I'm praising God under my breath, you know." And I didn't really know what to say right there, so I said something like this. I said, "Dad, let me ask you, buddy." I said, "If it was the other way around, you're saved and I'm lost and I'm going to hell, and I asked you to quit praying for me, I said, Dad, would you quit praying for me?" And for the first time in my life, I heard my father weep. And through a lamentable voice, he said, "No, but take it easy on me. I ain't ready yet." 10 years later, that mountain moved.
Amen.
10 years later, I got a phone call. And he said, "Son, I just want you to know I just got saved."
Praise God. Amen.
10 years later. See, God, it takes a little while to chip away them old stony hearts. But I'll tell you what, I've seen a mountain move. Amen. I saw it. It encouraged me to get down and pray. Amen. For people to get saved. Jesus said He would that all men everywhere pray and faint not. About all we ever do is faint and seldom ever pray. Amen. They're so flesh. But the Lord, He tried to encourage them. He said, "Buddies, He said, if you just got faith, you can move mountains. He said, all things whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive."
Right.
Then you go here a little further, buddy, and His authority is being questioned. You look right there in verse 23, and He comes to the temple, and the chief priests and the elders of the people come to Him as He was teaching. And they said, "But what authority doest thou these things? Who gave thee this authority?" You know what the Lord did right there? See, He's wise as a serpent here. He just asked them a question. He said, "I'll ask you a thing. If you tell me, I will likewise tell you by what authority I do these things." He said, "The baptism of John, whence was it, from heaven or of man?" And they reasoned within themselves and said, "If we say from heaven, he'll say to us, why did you not believe him? But if we say of men, we fear the people, for all hold John as a prophet." And they answered and said unto Jesus, "We cannot tell." And he's unto them, he said, "Neither tell I you by what authority I do these things." Then he gives them a parable of two sons. And in this parable of two sons, right in the middle of it, he tells them that the harlots and the publicans go into the kingdom of God before them. He says, "John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and you believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him. And you, when you had seen it, repented not afterward that you might believe him." Boy, the Lord, he's doing the work right here. He's laying a foundation for this parable of the marriage supper. He says, "Hear ye another parable of the householder." And he gives this parable of the householder, buddy. And I'll tell you what, it shakes them a little bit. Because it just kind of puts a finger right on them. And he said, "Well, what will he do?" And they said, "He will miserably destroy those wicked men and lend his vineyard out to other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruits in their season. See, the Lord, He's working on these men. He's preaching to them the best preaching I've ever seen in my life. I mean, He's got people questioning His authority. He's got a bunch of mess in the temple, cleaning it up, gets everything ready. But He starts precept upon precept ministering here. But I'll tell you what, He put the finger on the problem. Then He said, verse 42, He said, did you never read in the Scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing. It's marvelous in our eyes. He said, therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall upon this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard these parables, they perceived that He spake of them. But when they sought to lay hands on Him, He feared the multitude, because they took Him for a prophet. Now, all this discord right here leads up to this parable about this marriage supper. This marriage supper here, I want you to know, all are invited. No one should miss this marriage supper, but you got to have a reservation. This is a royal banquet. This is not like anything you've ever been to in your life. Now, that young Muslim boy that took that clock from Radio Shack, which wasn't nothing but a setup to try to further the agenda of Islam. And for those of you that know better, know what I'm talking about. And Barack Obama invited him to come up to the White House. Listen, that's kind of like what this is. I mean, that's a big ado. It didn't go as planned. It didn't work out for him. And even though they're really pushing that thing, I'm not going to let go of Jesus. Amen. I praise God. I got Him. He's got me. And I ain't letting go of Him for nothing else. And if you do, it'll be a bad trade. I'll tell you right now, He that has the Son has life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. I'm going with Him all the way. I didn't get on this thing for this while. I'm going all the way with Him. Amen. But I tell you, buddy, this is a royal banquet. This is a royal invitation. This is something, boy, that God said, you can come and eat with me. I'm inviting you. I want you to come sup with me. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Bless Him, Lord.
Got a seat.
25 years ago, I heard this story on the radio. I heard it to be true. I heard that Arnold Palmer played golf over in Arabia. And the king of Arabia came out to watch Arnold Palmer play golf. And he was very much impressed with Arnold Palmer as he played golf. And the king of Arabia had Arnold Palmer brought to him. And Arnold Palmer stood before the king of Arabia. And the king of Arabia said, I watched you play and I really enjoyed it. And the king said, I want to give you a gift. Now, you know how we are here in America. You know, we're just kind of humble, you know, and all that. And Arnold Palmer, you know, he just said, well, king, I'm glad you enjoyed it. I appreciate your offer. I don't really need anything. But you see, a king is represented by his gift. He said, I insist. I want to give you a gift. And Arnold Palmer said, I don't need anything, king. I appreciate the gesture. I appreciate the offer. I don't need anything. But the king would not be denied. He said, I insist. I want to give you a gift. And Arnold Palmer thought like me and you, Brother Philip. He said, well, king, if you want to give me a gift, just give me a golf club. It'll be fine. And the king of Arabia gave Arnold Palmer a golf club. A $6 million golf club with a swimming pool, a motel, and 18 holes, because a king does not give a small gift. It's a reflection upon him. And I want you to know, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, He's made a supper, Brother Graylin. Woo! He invited old Brother Eddie. I'm going, amen. I don't know when. I just know, amen, I'll be there. There's a placeman. And I'll tell you what's got my name on it. I've got reservation. I'm already seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. My citizenship's in heaven, amen. I can't wait. They'll sit at the marriage supper of the Lamb, amen.
Amen.
And you look at all them invitations in the Bible. The Spirit says, come.
Yeah.
The bride says, come. Yeah. Let him that heareth come. Let him that's athirst come. I tell you, boy, God says, come. Come to the marriage supper. Don't miss out on the marriage of the Lamb. Don't miss out. Amen.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly when. I just know I'm going, Brother Graham. Like the brother sung tonight, maybe tonight. Amen. We might not make it home, Brother Melvin. For it's over, we may be sitting elbow to elbow at the king's table. Amen. I'm talking about hallelujah. What a feast. I'm telling you, everything be prepared and ready. Won't be no need of nothing. We're just sitting down and enjoying the meal. Jesus, amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. I'm glad God put this in the Bible. Amen. God said, this is a royal banquet. Glory to God. I mean, it's a royal banquet. And he invites all to come. Did you hear him? He said, go out in the hedges. Go out in the highways. And bid them to come. Go get them. Bring them in. I'm telling you, those that were invited. Luke tells us some of the excuses they gave. One said, I bought a piece of ground and I got to go check it out. Who in the world buy a piece of ground not look at it? That must be somebody like Donald Trump brunch, I guess. I don't know. But another said, I bought a yoke of oxen. I need to go prove them. Who would buy a yoke of oxen and not know whether they'd even pull a plow or not? He said, I need to go prove them. And the last excuse was the worst of all. He said, I've taken a wife. Therefore, I pray, have me excuse. Bring her with you. Amen.
Amen.
I saw this and straightened her husband's collar up, man. Hallelujah. That's what a good wife does. Amen.
Amen.
What's wrong with y'all? Man, I wish mine was here. She'd find something to straighten up on me, amen. She just don't feel good. I love her, been married to me 40 years, took its toll on her. I sure can't say anything but praise the Lord for her. Listen, it's a royal banquet. All are invited. God's given this invitation. God invites you. God wants you. He's bidding you to come. You'll be disappointed you miss out on this thing.
Amen.
Woo! Listen, don't miss out on heaven's banquet. If you miss this banquet, you've missed it all. And listen, friend, God's going to be there at this banquet. He's going to be sitting at this table. He's going to be supping with us. We're going to be supping with Him. Did you notice this morning, fella over here? I kind of wish this wasn't in here. But it said the king came in to see the guest, and he saw their man which had not on a wedding garment. Jesus said, if a man climbs up any other way other than him,
right.
He said he'd be a thief,
right,
and a robber. Did you notice everybody else had a wedding garment?
Yes.
Boy, I can't wait to get in my wedding garment, brother.
Ooh.
Boy, hey, I've never known nothing but poverty all my life. I like that verse, I'm poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh on me. I like that verse, this poor man cried and the Lord heard him, saved him out of all this trouble. Them monumental, this old boy. I get down, I pray, I said, Lord, you know how poor I am. You know my needs, for I have even tell you about them. And you promised to supply all my needs at your riches and glory. I've commented on a few of them, I don't mind telling them again.
Yeah.
Brother Philip called me about this meeting. I was glad to get the phone call. I was right in the middle eating, Brother Melvin. Had a cheeseburger there. I just left a cheeseburger. I mean, I'm eating, and I'm trying to get it down to time to go to work, and the phone rung, and he come in on the voicemail, Brother Eddie, Brother Philip. I dropped the cheeseburger. He said, hello, hello, hello. He said, I just wondered, brother, if you could be available, help us out in revival meeting. I said, glory to God. If God be willing, yes.
Hallelujah.
And the devil was not happy about it. Immediately, my car blowed up. That wasn't too bad. A friend of mine let me borrow his and it blowed up. They're both in my backyard right now, Brother Grayland. And I'm down, I mean, the snake's belly. And this is Saturday. And I always have my devotion. I'll have a devotion in the morning. I always get up early. Hint, hint. Every Saturday morning, about 3 o'clock in the morning, me and the Lord spend some quality time together, and I'll do that this morning. But anyway, last Saturday, I was having that devotion, and I was telling the Lord, I said, Lord, if you want me to help out in that revival meeting, you're going to have to do something, or I'm going to have to call Brother Philip Monday morning and tell him he needs to get someone else so we'll have time to get someone else, because I'm not going to be able to accommodate. And that morning, 6 o'clock, a man called me. He called me. He said, I heard your car blowed up. I said, yeah, it's right. He said, well, have you found anything? I said, well, no, I've been looking. That's about all I can afford to do. He said, well, what have you found? Brother Todd, I told him, I said, well, I found this truck. It's an insurance truck. I said, they want $2,000 for it. He said, well, get on up here then. I got $2,500 right here in my hand. Get on up here and get it. And I thought, all right, now you're talking, Lord. Well, I had told the Lord, you call it selfish if you want to, but you're supposed to tell him what you got in need of. I told him I needed $3,000. I thought, who's going to argue with $2,500? I mean, I'm Baptist, you know what I mean? So I took the $2,500 and I done figured this up, Brother Grant. I done looked at this truck and I done figured up to bring it back to life. It was going to take somewhere in the neighborhood of $3,000. I thought, okay. Well, when my friend's car blowed up, I had to call my deacon to get him to give me a ride home because I was a long ways from home. And he come, got me. He was happy and giving me a ride home. And I was telling him that I'd borrowed that from Donnie. He said, what's Donnie's last name? I said, you know him, Brother Melvin. I said, it's Donnie Houchins. I had no idea why he wouldn't know his last name. We got there at the house. He let me out, Brother Melvin. He said, I got something here for you and for Donnie. He gave me a check for $500, and he gave one to Donnie for $500. That cushion of blow Donnie just gave $1,000 for that old blazer, and I drug him down there to get it, and we're going to fix it up or sell it, whatever. But I told the Lord I needed $3,000. I just didn't realize exactly how he's going to do it.
Yeah.
But I found out, buddy, you can trust him. I found out you can go to him. And listen, if you do go to him, you don't need to go no further. But now if you want to take that long route, you can be like that woman had that issue of blood. You can go to many physicians. You can suffer many things. You can spend all you got and be nothing better but rather worse. Or you can just take the straight route, just go straight to Jesus. Say, I got an issue here, Lord. I got an issue. I need to talk to you about my issue, Lord.
Yeah.
That's what you need to do. I believe the old song says, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. But you know, this guy here, he didn't have a wedding garment. I don't really know how in the world he got up there without one. But I just want you to know, praise God, I got one, amen. I want you to know, amen, that he gave me one. Paul said, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is after the law, but the righteousness of Christ imputed to me. I'm telling you, beloved, to go to heaven, you're going to have to be as righteous as Jesus is. You're going to have to be able to walk up alongside him and measure up. And you can't. You're short. You fall short of glory, God, but he can make a difference. Amen.
Yeah,
he measured me up. He got me by the collar, sis. Measured me up. Amen. Colossians said we're complete in him. I ain't lacking nothing.
Amen.
Amen. I done arrived.
Amen.
I'm already as good as there. But I am looking forward, Brother Melvin. I'm looking forward to sitting down at that table. I'm looking forward to looking on him that loved me and gave himself for me. One that gave his life a ransom for all to be testified in due time. I'm looking forward to looking on him, Brother Josh. And I'll be able to thank him personally.
Yeah.
I'll be able to say, Lord,
that's it.
I don't know why, but I'm glad you loved me. And I'm glad you never gave up on me. I've had a, you know, the Bible says make straight paths for you. I don't know about y'all, but I've done a little jaywalking. I'm not proud of it. But I found out he can get me back in line. It don't take him that long.
That's right.
I like what God does.
Amen.
He makes the crooked straight. That's what John the Baptist said. I was crooked as dog's leg. But he made it gum barrel straight. Amen.
Amen.
Let me share this with y'all. I'm about done here. You know, we see through a glass darkly. The Bible said we see in part and we know in part, but then we're going to see face to face.
Amen.
We're going to see pure love, Brother Graylin. We're going to understand why he loved us so much. We're going to learn how to love like he loves. I wished I could down here. I really do. I've got such calloused love. It's like we love those that love us. He loves those that hates him.
Yes.
The Bible said he's kind to the unthankful and to the evil. That's quite a statement there in Luke chapter 6 there. But anyway, every now and then, I mentioned this, I don't know, somewhere a while ago about he daily loads us benefits. Somebody was testifying and shouting. I said, yeah, praise God, he daily loads us down with benefits. But let me give you one real quick here. That littlest one, she's coming with me tomorrow night. Proverbs 17:6 says, children's children are the crown of old men. The rest of that verse says, in the glory of the children are their fathers. God gave the father an exalted position in the eyes of the children. God helped men never to fail the expectation of those children. They think their dad can whoop anybody. They say, my dad's got this. My dad can do this. Well, my dad's bigger than your dad. Well, my dad can whoop your dad and all that. Listen, God put that, he put that in their heart. The glory of the children of their fathers. They think he hung the moon. I mean, they look up to their dad. Don't never live a life that would ever cause them to think any less of you. Right. Well, anyway, I want to get back to that first part of it. Children's children are the crown of old men. I got a couple of crowns. One of them's a little bitty, and she's just a little tender plant. She ain't big as a cotton ball. Anyway, they's getting ready to leave. She just gets to come every now and then and stay with us, and they's getting ready to leave, and I thought he's done gone. I went back there in the back bathroom of our house, and I went in there and just really, for lack of a better word, just sat down. And here she come. Pop, how long are we going to be? I said, well, honey, probably a few minutes. I just got in here. All right. It wasn't 1 minute. Pop, how much more long are you going to be? I said, just a couple of minutes, honey. I mean, I'm getting a little bit in the flesh, y'all. I have to admit it. It comes kind of irritating me a little bit. Indirectly. How much more longer, Pop? I said, never mind. I'm out done in the flesh now. Coming out right now. And I opened up that door, Brother Melvin. Two little bony arms reached up, reached around my neck, and she kissed me. She said, I wanted to kiss you before I left. I just walked on back in the bedroom. Fell down on the bed and couldn't get a word out for 30 minutes. Just wept and said, Lord, thank you for blessings that can't be. Yes. They just can't be counted for how much they're worth.
Amen.
I couldn't get a word out. I just sat there and wept and wept. And I said, Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Now, the other side of that is, if you miss this banquet,
that's right,
you're going to lose all that.
Amen.
If you miss this banquet, you've been better off never to have been born.
That's right.
We don't know when that trumpet's going to call. I just know it's going to call.
Yes.
I don't know exactly what it's going to sound like. I just know I'm going to know it when I hear it, Brother Graylin.
Amen.
When that trumpet sounds off, I'm leaving. I mean, I ain't going to be like Lot's wife. I ain't looking back. I'll still, right now, I'm looking unto Jesus, all the defending my faith, all the defending my faith. But I'll tell you right now, when that trumpet sounds off, I've never flown in my life, but I'm going to embarrass Superman. I mean, I'm going to take off, buddy. Russia fired a missile at Syria, and it landed in Iran. I don't know how they're going to explain that away, but mine ain't going to do like that. Mine's going all the way.
Yes.
I mean, I'm already ready. You just don't understand. I mean, I'll just tear the ceiling out right now if somebody acted like a trumpet. I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
I'm good to go. Yeah. I'm going. But to those that miss this, those little blessings, man, you're going to say, I could have been sitting at that table. I could have been enjoying that marriage supper. I could have been there with my family. You know what God said there in Proverbs chapter number 1? He said, how long, you simple ones? How long will you sit at naught, all my counsel? None of my reproof. You may not have as long as you think.
That's right.
Amen. You ought to read that. Proverbs chapter 1 verse 20 on down through there. God says, I'm going to mock when your fear comes. I'm going to laugh when your desolation comes like a whirlwind. Boy, that ought not be so. You know, buddy, them people to get that, they deserve that. Because they wouldn't let him give them a wedding garment. They wouldn't let him give them reservation for this glorious moment to go meet the king.
Yeah.
To go sit with the king, Brother Josh, at the table. Like Arnold standing before the king of Arabia. I mean, that's a poor analogy. But I've never met a king before. And I'm going to meet the King of Kings. And I'm going to hear Him say, "Enter thou in the joy of the Lord." All things are ready. And I'm going to come in and I'm going to think, "Wow, the highest not been told. Woo! This is what they're talking about. Glory!" If you miss that, friend, you've been better off to never made it into life. But if you get your name in His book and you get that reservation, that invitation, and get that wedding garment, you're good to go.
Yes. Thank you,
Lord. It's His gift. He offers it. I don't know who in the world would turn it down. I guess only the devil would defeat anybody from getting it. But He bids one and all. He says, today if you hear His voice, you know why your heart's beating like a jungle drum? It's not me. I ain't no threat to you. It's not me making your heart beat to where you look around and see if anybody can hear it. God said in Genesis chapter 6, "My spirit will not always strive with man, but He will strive with you." I remember one time out there at work, a man come to me out there at Donnelly's, and he said, "Brother Eddie," he said, "God used to deal with me." He said, "He don't deal with me no more. What do you think about that?" I said, "Richard," his name's Richard Wheeler. I said, "Richard, God done showed you He's interested in your soul." I said, "Won't you show Him you're interested?"
Right.
He got saved. Hallelujah. Next time I saw him, he was lit up like that young girl was last night. Amen. He lit up. I said, "What happened, Richard?" He said, "I've done what you said. I told the Lord I was interested where I was going to spend eternity. Me and Him got together, got it fixed up." Amen.
Hallelujah.
You ought to show God tonight you're interested.
That's right.
Where you're going to spend eternity. You know, tonight would be a good time to make an eternal decision.
Yes.
To make an eternal record in heaven. You know, when those books are open up there, oh, Brother Eddie, I don't know what page it's on, Brother Josh, but April 27th, 1988, I got my name in there. Got my sins under the blood, got redeemed, got born again.
Oh, yes.
This ain't no fairy tale, beloved.
That's right.
Did you hear what he said a while ago? If it wasn't so, he said, "I'd have told you."
Right.
John 14, verse 2.
That's right.
Of all the things, God's mighty, He's great, greater than all. When He couldn't swear by no greater, swore by His own name to Abraham. There's one thing God can't do. Who knows it? That's right. It's impossible for God to lie. That's why we can have faith and not worry about where we put it. It's impossible for God to lie. He promised. And all the promises of God in Him are yea and amen. Let me ask everybody to stand tonight. I'll get Brother Philip to come up here, please. Appreciate this preacher. What a blessing y'all have in this man right here. I tell you, I feel God all over him. I love him to death. God bless you, Brother Philip. God bless you, brother.